All right, part seven, 400 feet per second. I want to tell you today that I'm excited. Do you ever get excited about anything? I'm excited about a lot of things right now. I'm excited. I'm going into semi-retirement on May 17th. I'm counting the days down. I'm excited. My work schedule is going to come down about 75%. That's semi-retirement. It means I'm retired, but I'm going to piddle. I might do this here and that there, but I ain't going to work every day. That's all I'm saying. I'm going into Jeff knows what I'm talking about. Jeff went into some semi-retirement. It's nice, isn't it? Yeah. I know. I'm excited about that. I'm excited. Marjorie's hand is getting better every day. That's not the part I'm excited about. The part I'm excited about is she'll be able to drive me around again soon. Because I've been for the last, 14 weeks, I've had to drive back and forth. Now, I'm used to sitting in the car taking a nap, but it ain't happening. I still take a nap, but she wakes me up when the other cars are coming. But I'm excited. I'm excited because recalibration is teaching me something even more and more as this sermon goes on, and God is continually teaching me that recalibration causes chain reaction. And I didn't think of it that way before, that if you recalibrate something, it causes other things to start recalibrating, other things start getting in line, naturally and spiritually. For example, naturally, I recalibrated my weight and I lost 44 pounds. Now, I see my doctor about every 3 months, and he walked into the room. He had already looked at my chart, and he walked in and he said, 40 pounds? I said, yeah, 40. But see, that caused all kinds of stuff to happen. My blood pressure went back to normal. It recalibrated. My kidney functions recalibrated from stage 3 kidney failure to back to normal. My A1C recalibrated and went down to 6.4. My body does not require insulin anymore. It is amazing how one thing caused everything else to recalibrate. And so it is spiritually. As we recalibrate spiritually, it causes other spiritual things to recalibrate in our life too. Changes our desires. It changes our want-tos. It changes where we're going, what we're doing. So recalibration is so important. And so we're going to continue with part 7, it says. I tell them I'm going to finish today, but they don't believe me. I might. All right. If I don't, I'll be back next week. How's that? We're talking about recalibrating because life is changing so fast. And as I told someone this week, and I hope they don't identify themselves, that as you grow in God, he tends to not let you get away with what he used to let you get away with. As you grow in God, the road gets a little bit narrower when it before was wide. And you could do things and get away with them or not see the ramifications. I don't believe you get away with anything, but the manifestation of the ramification wasn't in your face, and all of a sudden it starts to get in your face. And I liken that to the Holy Spirit that will gently whisper into your ear, and then if you don't answer, you get a on the shoulder, and then you might get a little shove. Well, okay. That is why as you grow in God, you constantly have to reach for recalibration. You have to make more and more and more adjustments in your life, because to whom much is given, much is required. And he's been blessing you, and he's been taking care of you, and he's been teaching you, and he's been doing all these things, and he's not going to be satisfied if you stay the way that you were. And so, as we recalibrate the things going on in our life, we have to expect that God expects us to change. I went to a church, I think it's about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, that I took a 30-day sabbatical from here. And I needed to connect with God over a bunch of issues and things, and I just needed to do that. But I still went to church. And I would go to these churches, and they would say, God loves you. And I was excited because I was going to some pretty big, powerful churches. And I was excited because I hadn't had a chance in a long time to do that. And they said, well, God loves you just the way you are. Huh. I did not know this. I knew God loved me, but I didn't think he was too happy with the way I was. I stood corrected. You don't have to change. No wonder these seats are full. No wonder there's 500 people in here. They don't have to change. Now, if I go back home and I tell them they're beautiful people and I love them, God loves them just the way they are, and they don't have to change anything, then maybe we could fill up the seats and then I can go to hell with them. Here's what God says. I love you with every being. I am love. I love you. Now change everything. Recalibrate, adjust. Stop being dishonest. Stop being abusive. Stop being, you know, the litany goes on and on and on. But stop it. Stop taking drugs. Stop being an alcoholic. Stop, stop, stop. Change. Don't buy into the theology that there's nothing you have to do, that it's all on God's side. And it was funny because we went to quite a few different churches in the 30 days, and they all said the same thing. And we were so distraught over the messages that we heard. Because we realized that people are losing their way. And they're bowing down to the morality of the world. And the world has gotten into the church. The one place where it was supposed to be left outside, and it's come in. Acceptance. Recalibration might be giving forgiveness where you have denied it. Allowing restoration where your pride has stopped it. Judging yourself instead of others. Recalibration might be adding some things to your life or deleting some things from your life, and possibly both at the same time. It might be giving God more control and you less control. Recalibration might be to control our actions that we know are hurtful. We may need to adjust what we spend our time thinking about and replace the bad thoughts. Recalibration may include where we go or who we go with. It may include where we spend our time, removing negative thoughts by focusing on positive things. Recalibration may include changing what we say or how we say it. Maybe we need to adjust our finances and live within our means, making sure to support our future and support the kingdom of God. Maybe we need to make it more about others than ourselves. I have some scripture I want to share with you about recalibration. We'll start in Proverbs 22:7. I have searched these scriptures out and I call them the recalibration scriptures. Because they're trying to tell you something. They're trying to tell you that you need to make an adjustment or you need to make a change in this area. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. What is this telling us? That we need to recalibrate our finances and stop borrowing money, and if we don't have the money, we don't need to buy it unless it's an emergency situation. There is something liberating about going into retirement because you're no longer a slave. It's like being freed from something you never had a choice, you had to go do. The greatest thing about retirement for me is the fact that I don't have to be here and I don't have to do this every day anymore. It was like that in debt. I mean, there was a time that we were in lots of debt because, like everybody else, had no sense. And you know the game, right? You max out the credit card and you get another one, and then you get another one, and then you can't pay. You get enough of them and you can't pay them, so you borrow from another one And I looked one day and I said, God, I'm giving so much money to the banks. And the first thing you got to do, and because the first thing people want to do is, okay, I plan to pay them off. That's not the first thing you got to do. The first thing you have to do is stop. Stop. That should be your only thought at first, is to stop. I'm not going to do this if I have to borrow the money. I'm going to save up the money, and then I'll do this, and it'll be that much sweeter, even if it takes me two more years. I would go out on a sales call, and they would come in, and they would say, you know, we want this, this, and that, and can we put it on our credit card? And I would say to them, how about this? How about you save for about 2 years and call me back? I ain't going nowhere. Can't say that now, but. And then you can afford this. And they would look at me like, did a salesman just told me not to use the credit card and save up my money till I could afford? Yeah, he just did. Because my blessings always come from putting people first, not me first. You cannot continue to be a slave. You must learn to free yourself. And you know, we're a church that helps the community a great deal, great deal.
Absolutely.
And we're proud of that. But somebody said in the last week or two, you know, why can't they help me because they help somebody else? Right? There ain't enough money in the world to help everybody. Right? And Jesus said, the poor you're going to have with you always. In other words, you're not going to solve this problem. And the problem comes from right there. That's the root of the problem, is you don't live within your means, and so you never are able to get ahead and help yourself. We're so proud of the fact that we go to different churches to do financial seminars to teach the people how to get out of this bondage. If you've never been to one of my seminars, it's 8 hours, and it teaches you a lot of things about finances. It's important. And other churches and other pastors, they come down on me like, what are you teaching about money for? You're supposed to be a church. You're supposed to be a pastor. You ain't supposed to teach about money. Money's mentioned in the Bible more times than anything else. Money's what makes the world go round. Money what feeds the kingdom. God uses money to fund the kingdom. Try helping somebody with no money. It's not easy. It's important. Otherwise, you're going to wake up 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and still be sitting there with mountains of debt. When all you got to do is recalibrate your life the way you live and live within your means. And if you don't like your means, find a way to make better means. But the world has something shinier. There's a shinier car. Yours lost its luster. And there's a shinier one. Fancier emblems on the hood. I know, I have one. Wouldn't do it again. Did it once. But I found out that my Kia gets me to the same places that my Mercedes does. And my Mercedes moves about 3,000 miles a year. We don't even drive it. The Kia gets about 40,000 miles a year. We're always in that. Because it just doesn't matter. It truly doesn't matter. The world makes you think you need to go here or you need to do this or you're missing out. Learn to be happy right where you are. Amen. Learn to, you know, Marjorie has always been smart in a lot of things. And I would come home and say, well, let's go here. And she would look at me and she'd say, why? Well, you know, and she'd say, now, we have a pool in the backyard. We don't need to go swimming. We got a hot tub in the backyard. We don't need to go into the spa. We have one. Where are we going? What? We're going from here to there. It's the same thing. We live in vacation. I'd be like, yeah, you know, you're right. There's no reason to go. And I'm not against vacations. But I'm just telling you, you can disconnect without going anywhere. Sandy called me. I called Sandy yesterday. And she was disconnected. And we had to talk about some stuff. some important stuff, but she was disconnected. And she said, what she said to me, she said it in different words, but she said, when I connect again, I'll call you. She used different vernacular, but I understood what she was saying. I don't know if she did or not, but she's saying, when I get back home, when I get to my office, when I get to my desk, when I'm ready to talk about business, then we're going to talk then. But right now, I am walking around the fields. I am disconnected. I'm enjoying life. God is good, and I'm happy. Amen. And you ain't about to interrupt that right now, son. Ever taken a walk and considered it a vacation? You disconnect. Sometimes you just got to leave your phone at home. Sometimes you just got to put it on silent. Sometimes you just got to do that. You don't have to be 1,000 miles away to do that. You can do it right where you are. I remember it's been some time now that I paid off my last debt. And I remember feeling free, feeling like a weight had come off of my shoulders. And I vowed that I never would do it again. That I just would do without before I did it again. And I think it's one of the smartest things I ever did is stop going into debt. If you have to use a credit card, use it and don't use it again until it's paid off. You know, I can't stress this part enough. It's one of the biggest, because if you recalibrate this, remember I told you it's a chain reaction? You recalibrate the stress in your life. They say to me that most marital fighting is due to money. I've been a marriage counselor for about 30, 40 years, and I can tell you that's a lie. The biggest problem in marital is the lack of money. It's the debt, it's the lack, it's the fight, it's the struggle, it's the pressure. It's all of those things. And so if you recalibrate your finances, your home life gets better. Your stress, your health starts to get better. Everything starts to get better. I'm not going to belabor this one anymore. We're going to the next one. Because I could talk for 3 weeks just on that. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Diligent means you make a plan and you see it through. Haste means you run full speed into something and you don't see the wall. Everybody wants the get rich quick schemes. Everybody wants to figure out, we got cryptocurrency right now, which just, I don't even know what to say. But you're investing in something that doesn't exist. And I'm trying to wrap my head around that, and it's volatile. Lord, is it volatile. It's up, it's down. If you're a Bitcoin investor, you're not a very happy camper right now because it's really down. I think it's somewhere around 35,000 now, and it was past 50. So it's really down. But it doesn't exist. And all these people are investing in it. and they have nothing except some kind of data that says they have something. They have imaginary wallets. It's imaginary. We teach diligence. We teach start a program, stay on the program, do something. And I've told you many times that the secret of my success is that I met a Jewish lady who was very wealthy, and I was young enough and dumb enough to, and brave enough to ask her the question, please tell me with all respect, how is it that the Jewish population is less than 10%, but yet they control 90% of the world's income, money? That's a huge disparity. And at the time, those figures were accurate. I don't know if they are now or not. And she looked at me and she said, because everything we make is not ours to spend. Everything we make is not ours to spend. And that changed my life, because from that point on, I never made a paycheck that I didn't save something from it. I still do that today. Doesn't have to be a lot, but I'm in the habit. It's more than a habit, it's a way of life for me now. Right? Every paycheck, something is not mine to spend. Some portion of that paycheck is just not mine to spend. That's my diligent plan that leads to profit, that I realize that it's not mine to spend, so I have to take something out for God and I have to take something out for me, and then I live on the rest. If you're struggling but you're living on what belongs to God, then why do you think you're struggling? Do I need to connect the dots for you? If you're struggling and you're living off what is yours, then the struggle's not going to go away. Next scripture. I love this one. Y'all know this scripture. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. As a counselor, if you've never been a counselor, counseling is the most frustrating thing you'll ever do in your life. There is nothing more frustrating than counseling. And every now and then, somebody actually listens. And things work out great, and life is good. Now, majority of the time, they come to you for counseling, and it works a different story. At work, I charge a lot of money to give you my opinion at work. I do. It can be $200 an hour when you have a problem and you need to figure out your problem and you call me. All right, I will come out, and I will solve your problem for you. And I'm going to charge you about $200 an hour to do it. And the greatest thing happens is I say, take this apart here, put this over there, attach this with this number 8 screw with a number 4 bolt, and I go through all this explanation on what they need to do, and they're doing it before I leave. They're not looking at me saying, well, you know, I don't think that'll work. No, they just paid me $200 an hour to tell them what to do. They're going to do it. Realtors will get in a jam and they will call me. And they're like, the seller says this, the buyer says this, the contractor says that. Just get over here and tell me what's going on. We still want to go with our own understanding. If your own understanding worked, you wouldn't need counseling. I tell people in my office all the time, my office is not a safe place for you. How's that working for you? Because if it was working, you wouldn't be in my office right now. Because they'll give me the reasons why they can't do what I'm telling them they should do. Well, the justification for their behavior is incredible. And since I counsel for free, I have no filter. But they'll justify based upon what they understand when they came to somebody to get greater understanding, but they refuse. Do we not do that with God all the time? Do we still not lead with what we know instead of grasping what He knows, believing that He knows more than we do? People tell me all the time, Rick, they say, I don't agree with you. That's funny to me. Because I'm up here, and God's feeding me. It's not me. You're still looking at me. If you think I'm the source of these messages, then there's where your problem is. You have a problem. You have a disconnect. You need to be here saying, that man's speaking God's word. I need to agree or disagree with God. It ain't the man. I don't plan 90% of what I say. Either you believe that it's inspired by God or you don't. If you don't believe it's inspired of God, why are you here? And then I always say this, Rick. Try it. If it doesn't work, go back to your way. But they don't even want to try. They just, you've got to apply these things that I'm telling you. Try it. If you don't like it, go back to your way. It ain't going to cost you nothing. Just do it. Each and every person should have a plan to get out of debt. Whatever your debt is, you should have a plan. I have quite a few people in here right now that have come to me with plan and gotten plans and are completely 100% out of debt today. But they didn't lean to their own understanding. They hear all the conventional wisdom and say, well, I'm supposed to pay this off first and that. No! Try this. You see, we want to come to church, but we don't want to submit. What happened to people that understand, and I get it, because I guess there is going to be a part eight, isn't there? They were laughing at me Friday night. I mean, they were laughing at me. I was that guy in church that didn't submit to nothing for years. I understand now. I didn't understand then, but I was pastor nightmare. Pastors do have nightmares. You got that one you know ain't going to listen to nothing you say, and he's going to do it his way regardless of what you tell him. Rick might know something about this. They're hearing you, but they're not home. And they're going to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I got this great study on reprobate spirit. It's coming. They've got a pool on how long that one's going to take. One of them said 28 weeks. I said, no, it's 1 week. What we have to learn from that sermon is that there is some reprobate in all of us, and we can change it. But looking back, I see a reprobate spirit because I refuse to submit. You're not going to tell me what to do. And I remained powerless. I remained in struggle, thinking I knew it all when I knew nothing, thinking I had it all when I had nothing. And didn't even understand what God's power was. God had a little talk about that with me. I want you to go here, and I want you to submit. That's the last thing I want to do, God. I don't want to go there, and I don't want to submit. Isn't that the way it is with us? We want God to do something for us without submission. And it says here, in all your ways, you have to submit if you want to straighten out your life. All your ways, you have to submit if you want things to be right. If you want to remove the struggle, you've got to submit. And I went and I submitted to some of the stupidest things I've ever submitted to in my life. Stuff that made no sense whatsoever. And I humbly submitted. That was it. Thinking to myself, this is dumb. But I'm going to do it. And I did it. 5 years. Nothing that my bishop asked me to do was off limits. Nothing he told me to do was off limits. And I did some stuff, and some of it came back, and he realized how dumb it was. But I grew in stature and in power. And people say, well, and Pastor Donna asked this all the time, why does your faith work the way it does? Because I submitted. And God blessed it. Because, you see, if you don't submit in all your ways, if you don't know how to submit, nothing's going to be right in your life. Nothing. You can keep fighting it. Trust me, I fought it for a lot of years. You can fight for a long, long time. But at some point, you have to say, why am I not winning? Why am I still struggling? Why am I still fighting? Why am I still sick? Why? My doctor looked at me and he said, you've reversed type 2 diabetes. Well, how long am I supposed to struggle with something? How about I recalibrate and my path gets made straight? How about I recalibrate and submit to some things that I really didn't want to submit to? Like, I didn't want to submit to the fact that I couldn't have that cherry pie. Or that extra helping of whatever. But I submitted and said, okay, I can do this. I can do this. Because the ones that have been on this journey with me, I'm so proud of. I'm so proud of Rob Baer. Where's Rob? Rob, 27 pounds down. Linda, back there, 33 pounds down. Marisol, she's playing a little bit. She's 15 pounds down. I don't know how many Gina has, but she's got a bunch. 12 pounds down. You see, those are big numbers. And Jessica probably has us all beat. How many are you down? 67 pounds down, yes. It can be done. You can do it. It can be done. You can recalibrate and change everything. And when you recalibrate, he will make your path straight if you submit to Jeff's down. Jeff, how many are you down? 20. Jeff's 20. And I got people looking at me saying, well, I can't do this.
Yes, you can.
And I just, you know, it's like you want to backhand and front forward. Of course you can do it. They're all doing it. You can do it. They're not any more special than you are. I know some of these people. They're not special at all. But they're doing it. They're doing it. And you can do it too. Not Kathy. Kathy, you pay no attention to this part of the sermon. You lose one more pound, I'm going to force feed you. What's that? Uh-huh. Yeah, not now. Guys, we can do better. We can live better lives. Because that's what God wants for you. Carrie's down a bunch, too. How many are you down, Carrie? 47, see? And Donna's not in here, so I can't ask her how many she's down, but she's down a bunch. She's down a bunch. And Savannah, you are doing amazing, amazing work. We're very proud of you. When you submit, and the greatest thing is that other problems all these people have are going to go away. The recalibration will continue throughout their bodies. Our new fast is coming. It is, 5 days. What's the Monday in February? Is it 5, 6? What day is that, somebody?
The 7th,
8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. is our new fast. It is no meat, no chicken, and no fish. Did she just, do I have to completely repeat this whole sermon? Yeah, okay, sure. No lobster, no, if it smells like fishy, don't eat it. Okay, what day is that again? Seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, a Monday through a Friday, So that's the new fast. Now, every time we fast, we get stronger. I will tell you that I credit, and I'm going to end now, I credit my weight loss to the Daniel fast because that's what got me jump started. And so that 21-day fast got me jump started in wanting to be strong. I want to be strong. I want to be able to do whatever I set my mind on doing. And I know that as I submit to God, He will enable that. It's not what it looks like right now, guys. Whatever it is in your life, it's not what it looks like. It's what can it be? And you change your focus from the pity party to the celebration. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for your mighty words. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. God, help us all to recalibrate. Help us all to make the changes that we need to make to change our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.